Here we are in part 8, or lesson 8, of the master key system, and in this part you'll find that you may freely choose what you think, but the result of your thought is governed by an immutable law. Is this not a wonderful thought? Is this not wonderful to know that our lives are not subject to any caprice or variability of any kind? They are governed by law. The stability is our opportunity. In other words, this stability and that law is our opportunity, because by complying with the law, we can secure the desired effect with invariable precision. It is the law which makes the universe one grand pean of harmony, which that word actually means song of joy. What a great thing, a song of joy, of harmony. If we're not for the law, the universe would be chaos instead of cosmos. Here then is the secret of the origin of both good and evil. This is all the good and all the evil there ever was or ever will be. Let me illustrate, Hanel writes. Thought results in action. If your thought is constructive and harmonious, the result will be good. If your thought is destructive or inharmonious, the result will be evil. Therefore, there is but one law, one principle, on cause, or one cause, if you will, one source of power, and good and evil are simply words which have been coined to indicate the result of our action, in other words, our compliance or non-compliance with the law. The importance of this is well illustrated in the lives of Emerson and Carlyle, two of my favorites. Hanel didn't write that. I did. They're two of my favorites. Emerson loved the good, and his life was a symphony of peace and harmony. Carlyle, on the other hand, hated the bad, and his life was a record of perpetual discord and inharmony. Here we have two grand men, each intent upon achieving the same ideal, but one makes use of constructive thought and is therefore in harmony with natural law. The other makes use of destructive thought and therefore brings upon himself discord of every kind of character. Slight digression. This is why the mental diet is such a wonderful revealing exercise. And Carlyle kept holding negative thought and manifesting negative conditions. Back to Hanel. It is evident, therefore, that we are to hate nothing, not even the quote-unquote bad, because hatred is destructive, and we shall soon find out that by entertaining destructive thought, we are sowing the wind, and in turn, we shall reap a whirlwind. And of course, this for you should resonate, or the connecting point, which I'm going to do a lot of in this passage, but not the normal amount of digressions that I do, to try to point out the connections. Clearly, that's connected to point 5 of the Blueprint Builder. So let's get started with part 8, the lesson. Sentence 1. Thought contains a vital principle. Because it is the creative principle of the universe, and by its nature will combine with other similar thoughts. As the one purpose of life is growth, all principles underlying existence must contribute to give it effect. Thought, therefore, takes form, and the law of growth eventually brings it into manifestation. Quick digression. This next several weeks and the whole real experience is based on that simple law, the law of growth, or materializing or manifesting thoughts that you have. So let's get back to Hanel in sentence 3. He continues, you may freely choose what you think, but the result of your thought is governed by an immutable law. Any line of thought persisted in cannot fail to produce its result in the character, health, and circumstances of the individual. Methods whereby we can substitute habits of constructive thinking for those which we have found produce only undesirable effects are therefore of primary importance. We all know that by no means is this easy. Mental habits are difficult to control, but it can be done, and the way to do it is to begin at once to substitute, there it is again, constructive thought for destructive thought. Form the habit of analyzing every thought if it is necessary, if its manifestation in the objective will be a benefit, not only to yourself, but to all of whom it may affect in any way. And there you are, point five of the Blueprint Builder. Keep it, treasure it, focus on it, grow it. It is of value. It is in tune with the infinite. It will grow and develop and produce fruit a hundredfold. On the other hand, it will be well for you to keep this quotation from George Matthews in mind. Learn to keep the door shut. Keep out of your mind, out of your office, and out of your world every element that seeks admittance with no definite helpful end in view. And there you are, the mental diet. Sentence five. If your thought has been critical or destructive and has resulted in any condition of discord or inharmony in your environment, it may be necessary for you to cultivate a mental attitude which will be conducive to constructive thought. Again, the law of substitutions. The imagination, in sentence six, he continues, will be found to be of great assistance in this direction. The cultivation of the imagination leads to the development of the ideal out of which your future will emerge. The imagination gathers up the material by which the mind weaves the fabric in which your future is to be clothed. What a beautiful sentence. Eight. Imagination is the light by which we can penetrate new worlds of thought and experience. I love that sentence. Imagination is the light by which we can penetrate new worlds of thought and experience. And you notice there, it's thought first and then experience. That's the new reality. Your imagination is what's going to penetrate those new worlds, those new realities, first in thought, and then the law of growth gets applied to create the experience or the manifestation. Back to Hanel here in 9, imagination is the mighty instrument by which the discoverer, every inventor, open the way from precedent to experience. Precedent said it cannot be done. That's the life we know. Experience says it's done. Imagination is plastic power, the moldings of things of sense into your new forms and ideals, in other words, your new reality. Imagination is the constructive form of thought which must precede every constructive form of action. A builder cannot build a structure of any kind until he or she has first received the plans from the architect. And the architect must get the ideas or those things from his or her imagination. It's your PPNs and your DMP. The captain of industry cannot build a giant corporation which may coordinate hundreds of smaller corporations and thousands of employees and utilize millions of dollars in capital until he has first created the entire work in his imagination. Objects in the material world are as clay in the potter's hand. It is the mastermind that the real things are created. And it is by the use of imagination that the work is done. In order to cultivate the imagination, it must be exercised. Exercise is necessary to cultivate mental muscle as well as physical muscle. It must be supplied with nourishment or it cannot grow. This is the reason, that sentence 13, I'm going to digress here for a couple of seconds. This is the reason we're sharing with you the 7 ways people learn so you can constantly pepper your subconscious mind with the ideal so that the specific plan is forced to grow out of it. And then all you have to do is act on it, which of course you're going to do because you have an earnest desire. But this is the daily reading. This is the auto suggestion. This is the shapes and the colors and the recording in your own voice. This is the deal that will trigger more activity in your imagination where that ideal gets clearer and clearer. Back to Hanel. Obviously get excited about this part because it leads beautifully into sentence 14 where Hanel writes, "Do not confuse imagination with fancy or that form of daydreaming in which people like to indulge. Daydreaming is a mental form of dissipation which may lead to mental disaster, and that mental disaster I know he's talking about because I've seen it for years, is the eroding of self-confidence. We think we're picturing it, but in fact, we're just playing in our 15. Constructive imagination means mental labor. That's the breaking of the addiction. 15. Constructive imagination means mental labor. By some considered to be the hardest kind of labor. But if so, it yields the greatest returns. For all the great things in life have come to men and women who had the capacity to think, to imagine, and by extension, make their dreams come true. In other words, it all starts in the imagination. So leverage these exercises now from a completely different angle, that they were designed to stimulate your imagination, and you're holding that magnifying glass still. In 16, he continues, when you have become thoroughly conscious of the fact that mind is the only creative principle, that it is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, and that you can consciously come into harmony with this omnipotence through your power of thought, you have taken a long step in the right direction. The next step is to place yourself in a position to receive this power. As it is omnipresent, it must be with you. It is within you. We know that this is so because we know that all power is from within, but it must be developed, unfolded, and cultivated. In order to do this, we must be receptive. And this receptivity is acquired just as physical strength is gained by exercise. And this should explain to you why the little clip about you being powerful beyond measure should have directed you inward, that the power is already in you. So you're reading the same thing in The Greatest Salesman. The law of attraction in 18, he continues, will certainly and unerringly bring to you the conditions, environment, experiences in life corresponding with your habitual, characteristic, predominant mental attitude. Not what you think once in a while when you're in church, or you've just read a good book, or maybe just got off a webcast, right? But your predominant mental attitude is what counts. This is the reason we keep asking you to integrate the index cards, the shapes, look for them everywhere. It's to help you develop a predominant mental attitude around your new reality. On 19, this is about the mental diet. You cannot entertain weak, harmful, negative thoughts 10 hours a day and expect to bring about beautiful, strong, and harmonious conditions in your life by 10 minutes of strong, positive, creative thought. Okay, so if you combine the mental diet with all these little exercises we're asking you to do, we're doing what? Helping you create a predominant mental attitude and close out all negative thoughts. Real power comes from within. All power that anybody can possibly use is within each man and each woman, only waiting to be brought into visibility by his first or her first recognizing it and then affirming it as hers or his and working it into their consciousness until they become one with it. People say they desire abundant life, and so they do. But so many interpret this to mean that if they will exercise their muscles or breathe scientifically, eat certain foods in a certain way, drink so many glasses of water every day at just a certain temperature, keep out of drafts, they will attain the abundant life they seek. The result of such methods is but at best indifferent. However, when a person awakens to the truth and affirms his oneness with all life, that it is creative and it's meant to grow, he or she finds that he or she takes on the clear eye, the elastic step, the vigor of youth. We find that he or she has discovered the source of all power. All mistakes are but mistakes of ignorance. Knowledge, gaining, and consequent power is what determines growth and the evolution of your life. The recognition and demonstration of knowledge is what constitutes power. And this power is spiritual power. And this spiritual power is the power which lies at the heart of all things. It is, in essence, the soul of the universe. Now, while this may be difficult for some of us to really grasp, and you know, some people think it's hard, it's 100% our responsibility to claim, recognize, and claim this power, and it's liberating and uplifting. This is an incredible experience for each of us. In 23, it continues, this knowledge is the result of a person's ability to think. Thought is therefore the germ of man's conscious evolution. When a person ceases to advance their thoughts and ideals, his forces or her forces immediately begin to disintegrate, and his countenance gradually registers these changing conditions. Successful people make it their business to hold ideals of the conditions which they wish to realize. This is why the seven ways people learn, and you feeding yourself both assertively and passively all day long, helps you do what? Hold that ideal. They constantly hold in mind, I'm continuing with Hanel here, the next step necessary to the ideal for which they are striving. Thoughts are the materials with which we build, and the imagination is their mental workshop. Wow. Mind is the ever-moving force with which they secure the persons and circumstances necessary to build their success structure. And imagination is the matrix in which all great things are fashioned. I hope you really spend some time on sentence 24. It's a really good sentence to think on. And we're not trying to influence you here, but we are trying to influence you to give this some thought, and we hope that you find what we have found in this one simple sentence. It is fantastic. Thoughts are the materials with which they build, and the imagination is their mental workshop. 25, if you've been faithful to your ideal, you will hear the call when the circumstances are ready to materialize your plans, and the results will correspond in exact ratio to your fidelity to the ideal. The ideal steadily held is what predetermines and attracts the necessary conditions for its fulfillment. 26, it is thus that you may weave a garment of spirit and power into the web of your entire existence. It is thus that you may lead a charmed life and forever be protected from all harm. It is thus that you may become a positive force whereby conditions of opulence and harmony may be attracted to you. This is the leaven. And leaven in this sense means transformation agent. This is the leaven which is gradually permeating the general consciousness and is largely responsible for the conditions of unrest which are everywhere evident. Why? Because we're weaving in what the outside world thinks we should do, what's going to make us righteous, what's going to make us popular, what's going to make us pretty. You want to use a different leavening agent, which is your imagination. So let me reread and rewrite Hanel's sentence. By using these exercises, the leavening agent, which is gradually permeating the consciousness, is largely responsible for the new reality that you see everywhere. Incredible, tiny shift. In 28, he says, in the last part, you created a mental image. You brought it in from the invisible to the visible. This week, I want you to take an object and follow it back to its origination. See of what it really consists. If you do this, you will develop imagination, insight, perception, and sagacity. Love that word. Wisdom is another word for sagacity. These come not at the superficial observation of the multitude, but by a keen analytical observation which sees below the surface. It is the few who know that the things which they see are only the effects and understand the causes by which these effects were brought into existence. So I'm going to read 30 and 31 here, okay? And then I'm going to give you a tiny application as it applies to your DMP, okay? So 30 says, take the same position heretofore and visualize a battleship. See the grim monster floating on the surface of the water. There appears to be no life anywhere, but all is silence. And you know that by far the largest part of the vessel is underwater, out of sight. You know that the ship is as large and as heavy as a 20-story skyscraper. You know that there are hundreds of men ready to spring to their appointed task instantly. You know that every department that's in charge is able, trained, and skilled officials who have proven themselves competent to take charge of this marvelous, massive piece of machinery, incredible mechanism. You know that although it lies apparently oblivious to everything else, it has eyes which sees everything for miles around, and nothing is permitted to escape its watchful vision. You know that while it appears quiet, submissive, and innocent, it is prepared to hurl a steel projectile weighing thousands of pounds at an enemy miles away. This and much more you can bring into your mind with comparatively no effort whatsoever. But how did the battleship come to be where it is? How did it come into existence in the first place? All of this we want to know if we want to be careful observers. 31. Follow the great steel plates through the foundries. See the thousands of men employed in their production. Go back further and see the ore as it comes from the mine. See it being loaded onto barges or cars or trains. See it melted and properly treated. And then go back further still and see the architect and engineers who plan the vessel. Let the thought carry you back still further in order to determine why they planned the vessel. You will see, really, you will see that you are now so far back that the vessel is something intangible. It really no longer exists. It is now only a thought existing in the brain of the architect. But where did the order come from to plan the vessel? Maybe the Secretary of Defense. But probably this vessel was planned long before the war was thought of that it was designed for, and that Congress had to pass a bill appropriating the money. Possibly there was opposition, speeches for and against the bill to pass it. Whom did these congressmen represent? Well, they represent me and you. So that our line of thought begins with the battleship and ends where? With ourselves. And we find in the last analysis that our own thought is responsible for this and many other things of which we seldom think. But a little further reflection will develop the most important fact of all, and that is, if someone had not discovered the law by which this tremendous mass of steel and iron could be made to float upon the water instead of immediately sinking to the bottom, the battleship could not have come into existence at all. Let me explain. In 32, this law is that, and I'm quoting here, the specific gravity of any substance is the weight of any volume of it compared with an equal volume of water. The discovery of this law revolutionized every kind of ocean travel, commerce, and warfare, and made the existence of the battleship, aircraft carriers, and cruise ships possible. What does this have to do with your DMP? Well, gosh, everything, okay? Because what you really want to do is you sit and do this battleship thing on Thursday when you do your DMP, you know, you're reading the press release version. So you read that press release version, and that's the finished thing, like the battleship. And the interviewer doesn't see one-tenth of what actually went on, your trials and tribulations, and go back and go back further and go back to when you were first contacted about your business or got the idea and go back to even before that, because we did just the opposite and we're going to do just the opposite again next week. This is seeing your DMP way back to the idea before you even had the idea, before you even were approached, before you even had the idea of agreeing to being approached. Get all the way back to there. So you're deconstructing your definite major purpose one of the days, the same way that you deconstruct the battleship. You will find, in 33 he concludes, you will find exercises of this kind invaluable. Let me rephrase Hanel here, because next week you're going to do just the opposite. And when you can see things inductively and deductively, way past what the average person sees, this idea that thought is cause, it changes everything. When the thought has been trained to look below the surface, I'm continuing with Hanel here, when the thought has been trained to look below the surface, everything takes on a different appearance. The insignificant becomes incredibly significant. The uninteresting becomes interesting. The things which we suppose to be of no importance are seen to be the only really vital things in existence. So look to this day for life, the very life of life. It's in brief course lie all the verities and realities of your existence, the bliss of growth, the glory of action, the splendor of beauty. For yesterday is but a dream, and tomorrow is only a vision. But today, today, well lived, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day, and all those buildings and cars and desks and everything. Oh my gosh, look below the surface, because when you see that, you'll see how easy your dream will come into manifestation. Peace be the